The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. There are certain passages in the Scripture, well, they just irritate people. And it doesn't matter how much your poor priest tries to explain it, it just rubs people the wrong way. You know the one that does more than any other in the whole Bible? Do you remember the story of the laborers in the vineyard? It comes up next year, I think, in our reading cycle. The laborers in the vineyard. And it's a story of these laborers working all day long in the blazing sun and the beating heat, only to discover, much to their astonishment, that at the end of the day, they get the exact same pay as some guy who's only been working for an hour. Never fails to irritate people. I can explain it ad nauseum, always rubs people the wrong way, probably more than any other. But a very close second is the gospel that you just heard, the story of Martha and Mary. Because at first blush, it is so manifestly unfair. How can Jesus not take Martha's side? I mean, poor Martha's left to do all the work. Can't you find yourself saying these words right alongside Martha, right? Turning to Jesus and saying, "Lord, don't you care that I'm doing everything by myself? Tell my sister to help me." I mean, is she really so wrong? In bringing that to the Lord's attention, well, 2 points. Okay, 2 points. First point. Anytime you're telling Jesus what to do, you're in a bad place, guaranteed. Spiritually speaking, you're in a bad place whenever you're giving commandments to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That's the first point. Here's the second. This is much, much deeper than it seems. There's much more going on here than appears at first glance. We have to take a closer look, and I want to do that with you this evening in three simple points. Okay? Three simple points. Here's the first. The problem in the room is not that Martha's left doing too much work and Mary's not helping. The problem in the room is that Martha has lost her focus. Some people hear this story and the only thing is about being too busy. It's a funny thing about being too busy. People brag about being too busy. Have you noticed this? People tell you, ad nauseum, how busy they are. They're nothing but an incarnate to-do list. And I suppose that's because a life that's filled with activity appears to be a life that's filled with purpose, and everybody wants to have a life that's filled with purpose. So everybody brags about how busy they are. And then along comes this little story. And people think it's about being too busy, but it's not. The Martha, despite all the homilies you probably heard down through the ages, the Martha and the Mary story is not about being too busy. Jesus never says, "Martha, Martha, you're too busy." What does he say? What does he say? He says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things. Only one thing is necessary." Now, what's the one thing that's necessary? For a person who's been made in God's image and destined to be united with God forever, the one thing necessary is that your mind and your heart are always on the Lord. If you forget that, don't be surprised to discover that you are anxious and worried about everything. I found this to be amazing. The more people believe in God, just generally speaking, the less they're worried about stuff. And I found this to be true. The less people believe in God, the more they're worried about everything. So it's not about being too busy. If this was about being too busy, then saints down through the ages would have their stories of holiness neglected, because there's plenty of examples of saints who have literally worked themselves to death. St. Catherine of Siena died at the age of 33, would have lived a lot longer if she hadn't worked so gosh darn hard. St. Charles Borromeo worked himself to an early grave. He died at the age of 47. Okay, so the first point to keep in mind here is the problem in the room is not that Martha is too busy. It's that she's forgotten what matters most, and that's our first lesson. Here's the second. People hear this story, they think that Martha's taken the hard road, and Mary's doing what's easy. That's what people think. People think Martha's doing the work, she's doing what's hard. Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet, she's doing what's easy. Would you be surprised if I told you that the exact opposite of that is the truth? Martha's doing what's easy, and Mary's doing what's hard. Allow me to explain. Have you noticed this? The more gadgets we invent, the busier we get. Have you noticed this? You've got most of us here. Have at your disposal right now a smartphone. Yes or yes? Yes. A little digital servant that ought to do so much work for you that you should be positively made of leisure time. But what happens? Tell you, the only thing smart about the smartphone is the people that are making those things, right? Because the rest of us are going faster and faster and faster. Your great-grandmother washed clothes by hand on a scrub board, but she had more leisure time than you do. Why is that? Would you believe about 300 years ago, the French mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal, he took up this question. Even back in the 1600s, people realized they're inventing more stuff, and the stuff is only making us busier and busier. You know what Blaise Pascal concluded? He said that we're busier because we want to be. And we want to be because it's easier to stay busy than it is to stop and ask hard questions. Like, what's the difference between right and wrong? Am I living a good life? Is God pleased with me? Are there some things that I should change? These are hard questions. And it's way easier to just divert your mind with all kinds of busy work. It says right here that Martha was burdened with much serving. What's interesting is you go back to the original Greek, and the original Greek word says Martha was distracted by much serving. We like it. It's why, for example, people have no time to pray, but lots of time for soccer. It's why, for example, you'll find a man with a high-functioning career and a dysfunctional home. Why is that so common? Because it's hard to focus on the most important things. USA Today did a survey a bunch of years ago. They compared the happiness of low-income kids with high-income kids. You might not be surprised to learn that the low-income kids were happier. Lower standard of living, I'm not saying that's a good thing. But you know why they were rated as being happier than the high-income kids? More quality time with their family at home. The thing that high-income kids resented the most, according to this study, expensive gifts, which they thought were compensation for a lack of quality time from the people who they loved. The first thing is to make the first thing the first thing. And I got news for you. It's hard. And that's our second point. Here's the third. In all of this, would you believe God is actually doing us a favor? I know how most people think. Most people, you know, you come to church, you say your prayers, you go to confession, you do all the things you're supposed to do. And in this truth, somewhere in the back of your mind, when you do this, you think you're scoring up brownie points in God's ledger, right? Right? You're thinking like, you know, I said my prayers today, I went to Mass, went to confession. Those are all check marks in my favor when it comes time for the divine judgment. Would you be surprised to learn that it's actually God who's doing you a favor and not the other way around? That's actually what our first reading was all about. Totally mysterious first reading from the book of Genesis. I'll make a long story really short. It's the story of Abraham. And literally, God shows up to his house for dinner. And just as an aside, it's one of the few places in the Old Testament where the Trinity is manifested. Because God shows up, and at first he's a singular. Next thing you know, he's three people. And Abraham's addressing three different persons. But that's the subject of a separate homily. But to this mysterious stranger, Abraham gives his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is just after Abraham made a covenant with God, and God promised him the one thing in his whole life that Abraham always wanted, a son with his beloved wife, Sarah. And what happens after he dedicates all this time and effort to being at God's service? God gives him what his heart desires. God always rewards us most when we turn to him. I bet you Martha thought she was doing Jesus a favor in serving him a meal, right? Bet you she thought she was doing him a favor. Question for you this evening. Does the one who multiplied loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 people really need you to cook him dinner? No, right? No. It's Jesus, rather, who in this gospel is begging Martha to let him do a favor for her. Because this is how God answers prayers. Think God answers prayers and you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying and finally you wrest a favor out of God's reluctant clutch. It doesn't work like that. It's one of my favorite images to show you how God answers prayers. Imagine a lake. On this lake there's a sailboat. You're driving the sailboat and you have no idea how to run a sailboat. And sticking up out of this lake are a bunch of rocks sticking up out of this lake, and you have no idea how to get around the rocks. Well, there's two ways that you could get that sailboat through that obstacle course. Way number one, somebody could, I guess, give you detailed instructions as to how to pilot a boat, and here's what you do with the sail, and here's what you do with the rudder. And just by strain and pain, you could finally make your way around. But imagine someone could just lift up the level of the water for you. You sail clean over top of all those obstacles. That's an analogy of what God does for us when we pray. Do our problems go away when we pray? No, they don't. A lot of times you pray and God does not take your problems away. But you know what he does do? He fills you so much with himself that what used to be an obstacle is now something you sail clean across. And he's begging you to give him the chance. But you know what it costs? It costs you time. Listen, if you don't take time to pray, you won't pray. If you don't take time to go to Mass, if you don't take time to... It costs you time. Yeah, it's true. But in all of this, it's not you who's doing a favor for God. It's God who's doing a favor for you. Three little points to keep in mind from this very simple, but actually very deep story of Martha and Mary. It's nothing but an explanation of what Jesus once said in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness over you. And everything else will be given you besides. That is the greater part. And it will never be taken away from you. Amen.